Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to another fellowship. We've just been having great discussion about the Word of God and authority that the Father's placed in us and given to us, that He's given to us the Word and ministry of reconciliation, that if anything's going to happen in this world, that is going to be done by us, that we're the ones that are to operate in faith, that we're the ones to take those promises of God and release them from our mouth. And we was talking about Romans 10:8 actually, and I'll read that to you because it's just such a great scripture. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart." That is the word of faith that we preach. So the word is near us. It's in our mouth and in our heart. The more we say and confess God's word, the more that word is going to get down into the depths of our heart, into the ground of our heart. And we know that the word of God is seed, and it produces. So the word of God will make demands on our heart for faith to come. And as we get those promises of God, and as we say what God says, rather than what we hear, see, smell, taste and touch in the world, then that germinate and water that seed in our heart. And then as we release it through our mouth, then we're releasing faith into the world. And then we can call those things not as though they were. The promises of God will come into manifestation into our lives. And tonight I want to look at how to exercise our spiritual authority. And right there, I've just told you, is what we believe in our heart and we say with our mouth and we don't doubt. Like we read in Mark 11:20, 23 and 24. See, what you're saying with your mouth, you can't doubt in your heart. If you doubt what you're saying, nothing's going to produce. But when we believe God's word in our heart and we say it with our mouth, it's going to produce. We will have what we say rather than what we see. So we want to be saying what God says. And we also want to understand the authority that we have in Christ. And the only way you can understand what authority you've got, you need to come back to the word of God. We need to see what the scriptures say about what has been accomplished by Jesus Christ, what we received at the new birth, and then how to utilize it. Is very, very simple. But first, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 10, because we're going to look at how Jesus Christ worked with his disciples, how they operated alongside of Jesus Christ, and how they could operate. You know, how could these guys operate when Jesus Christ had the power, when he had the authority? So in Matthew chapter 10, we look at verse 1. And it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, "And when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power." And this word power is authority, "against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. An apostle is one that is sent forth with commandments of the one that sent him, right? And these apostles, these disciples, they were sent forth with the authority that Jesus Christ had given them. And then he gave them instructions saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Why? Because that was Jesus Christ's ministry. His ministry was called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he was about his Father's business, but he knew he couldn't do it all alone. So he gave authority to the disciples to take part in his ministry. Now they couldn't do it in their own strength, or their effort, or their ability. He had to empower them, like he had been empowered. And in verse 7 it says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then he said, "Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." What did they freely receive? Authority, power. They received that authority and power from the Lord Jesus Christ to go and use, to operate, to apply, to help other people to come out of darkness to light, and to set the captives free, to bring deliverance to those that were captivated by the devil. Okay, and they were captivated by the devil because of the fall of Adam and Eve when sin entered in. The whole world was cursed with the law and sin of death. Okay, and these people were captivated. They were in bondage. And today is no different. There are still people living under the law of sin and death because they haven't heard the good news, or they haven't responded to the good news, but they're in captivity. They have sicknesses, they have disease, they have lack, they have poverty. Just look around your neighbourhoods. We don't even have to look to a third world country. You can look in your own backyard, and there's many people out there that have needs. And if those needs are going to be met, we have to go. We have to preach. and we have to use the authority that we've been given. When we became born again, we received power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit, and we need to understand what we've received so we can live in this power, right? We understand by going to the scriptures to see what we receive and how to use what God has given us. So Jesus gave them authority with instructions to use it. We've been given authority and we've also got instructions to use it. And those instructions you'll find in the seven church epistles. So we have instructions in these epistles that show us what we have and who we are and how we are to walk in authority. But we have to use the authority we have been given. So authority is released through the words we speak. We need to make use of the power we have been given. Faith is released through words. Either faith, we either release in faith through our words, faith-filled words, or we're releasing fear-filled words. What the world has to say. Words of the world don't build faith, godly faith, but they build fear. They hold people in bondage. So it's so important that we understand our authority. You have authority as a believer, and we need to understand what is our authority. The authority we have, is it our own authority? No, it's the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. So again, let's have a look a bit more at this authority. If you go to Luke chapter 24, we go back to basics. And see, God made his word simple so that we can understand it. And if we keep ourselves fresh in the word and going over and having a love for the scriptures and building our understanding, then the Spirit of God is also going to open up great things for us to see. And in Luke 24, it says in verse 49, "And behold," this is what Jesus Christ was saying to his disciples before he ascended, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So this word endued is to be clothed. Okay, he was saying, look, you're going to receive Holy Spirit, but I'm going to send it to you, but you wait here. And when I send it, you're going to be clothed. Your new garments are going to be power from on high. Act 1, it says, "But you shall receive power," this is dunamis, "after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, both unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So again, there we see that Jesus with the disciples before he ascended, and he gave them instructions to wait and then to tarry, and then he was going to send the promise of the Father. So when he sent the promise of the Father, this is what happened in Acts chapter 2. So I'm just covering the basics again, that this should be in our basic understanding. And in Acts 2:1 it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord," unity of purpose, "in one place." They were obedient to the instructions Jesus Christ gave them. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." See, God supplied the power and they used it by speaking in tongues as they were instructed to do. So if you think you have to your home an electricity supplier, a power company is supplying your electricity, but they're not operating your power in your house. You have to cooperate with what they've made available and utilize the power that's been made available. So if you want to get your Hoover to work, you have to plug it into the socket, right? So you are tapping into the power that's been supplied to you by your supplier. And as you tap into that, then bang, your Hoover works. If you want to dry your hair, the hairdryer is not going to be working unless you plug it into the source of power, which is your plug socket, okay? So when we are tapped in to our source of power, understanding what's been made available to us, then we can really utilize the power. But we got to be tapped into the power. We got to turn the light on. We got to turn the switch on. We got to turn that power on. And we have to go to the scriptures to see what has been made available to us and appropriate action we have to take so that we can operate in the power. Can you see? So like, I got the Spirit of God in me. If I want to speak in tongues, I got to move my lips, my throat, my mouth, my tongue, and then is energized. That Spirit of God is energized. Okay, I have to do it. God's not going to make me do it. He's not going to possess me to do it. But he's given it. He supplied the power. I've got to utilize the power he's given me. And if we see this as believers, when we know someone is ill, when we know someone was sick, we can make available to them the power of God. Why? Because the power of God is residing on the inside of a believer. So let's go to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and we'll read this. Even though we know it, a lot of people know this scripture, there might be some people that come into the blog that don't know it. So I believe, as we start, we should carry on. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's read the scripture first. It says, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess or say with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be made whole, spiritually, mentally, for every area you've been made whole, you've been given life. Why? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do I mean? We should carry on as we started. Well, we started our walk, our spiritual life, by believing in our heart and saying with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. When we believed that with no doubts in our heart, and we released it from our mouth, we confessed Jesus is Lord, we received that same power on high like they received on the day of Pentecost. God clothed us with Holy Spirit, which is our authority, okay, it's our eternal life, and it's our authority to exercise it in this world, okay, so that we're living in this world, but we're not of this world, and we can live on a higher plane than this world, that we can bring God's solutions into our life and into the life of other people, because we know what the Word of God says. So when we know what we have, we can use it. If you don't know what you have, you ain't going to use it, right? Authority is released by the words we speak, and we need to operate in our authority. And it's through knowing what we have and the authority and believing, we have the authority and exercising our authority. We have to realize that we have authority, that we have this power from on high, and that we're the ones to exercise it, that the power of God can be manifested. So we are the ones that enforce God's spiritual laws, okay, in this earth and in our life. Jesus Christ, when he was walking the face of the earth, he enforced God's law in this world. See, a policeman has authority and he knows how to use it. A policeman is there to enforce the law of the land. So when someone breaks the law of the land, he has the right to enforce the law of the land. He can arrest that. So when the adversary, the god of this world, Satan, goes to work and he breaks the law when it concerns a believer, if that believer knows who he is or she is in Christ and what authority they have, then we can arrest that. We can arrest it and address it right there and then. But a lot of people are ignorant that they're the ones to use the authority. They're expecting God to do all the work. But God has committed his word and the ministry of his word to the believer. So we're the ones to do it. A lot of people are waiting on God to do everything for them, when he's already done everything he's going to do in Christ. So we have to understand this. The way we understand it is by going to the script to see these things. People say God is in control. Well, he's really given us the control. He's given all power and authority to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has committed that to us. Okay, so yeah, really, he can do these things, but he's committed it to us. We're the ones that enforce God's power and his laws in this world. Can you see? It's up to us to utilize it. So if we go to Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, we read this, and it says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Then the text says here, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But that's been added by the translator. So it should read like this into verse 2 from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death entered in at the fall of Adam and Eve, when sin entered into the world, and then everyone that was born into the world came under the law of sin and death. That's not the law of Moses, it's the law of sin and death. So there's a law, and we're the ones every day that are going to determine what law we're going to walk in. And it's by the way of our minds. We either are going to walk in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus by saying what God says, coming into agreement with the Word of God, knowing what the Word of God says to us, saying that over our circumstances, situations, or we can walk in the old man nature, which activates that law of sin and death in our life. But Jesus Christ has paid for everything. So when someone gets sick, a believer is born again of the Spirit of God, if they get sick, they've been violated, basically. And maybe they allowed that in. They've empowered the adversary through their negative living or confession. which is actions, which is their faith or their fear. And so basically what they do, they come back to the Word of God, and then they start saying the promises of God. They start saying what God says about it. And then those people get healed, because then what they're doing, they're activating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, see? So that's why you hear a lot of people, if they're ill, they're quoting what the Word of God says. Or the adversary just might be attacking them. But to enforce the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, they need to say what God says. So that's the choices we have every day. Okay, we can start our day with God, we can end our day with God. We may have challenges in between, but if we're saying, declaring what God says, we're not saying what we see, then we will walk in victory. We can live as more than super conquerors, okay? We are overcomers, because we're overcomers because there's challenges in life. But God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So there we see the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And then also in that same verse we see the law of sin and death. There's also the law of the mind. So let's go to Romans chapter 7. And this is the conflict. See, every day we got a choice. We can either activate the new man or the old man. Right? And in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 23... let's read. But I see another law in my member, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. So when we are operating in the old man nature, then the law of sin and death goes to work in us. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So when we're operating in our old man nature, we're serving the law of sin. But when we got the mind of Christ on, when we're saying what God says, we're activating and walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I just think that is fantastic. Then there's the law of faith. If you go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and I'm still developing myself in this teaching, and I'm still learning. So this is really exciting, when you like what we just read in Romans 7, 23 and 25, but you want to read the whole thing. And I was sharing before in my other teachings that, you know, read Romans 6, 7 and 8, and God has just kind of gave me a new lease of life with these things and with the understanding of it, but I know there's still lots more for me to learn about it, so bear with me as I teach. But the law of faith, Romans 3 and in verse 27, it says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So there's a law of faith. So we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have the law of sin and death. We have the law of the mind, okay, which is the old man nature. We have the law of faith. There's also laws of the law of sowing and reaping. Let's have a look at them. Why am I looking at these laws? Because when we look at what's set up, then we can operate in the things that God has set up. We can operate in the principle of it. So when we understand that there's the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus, that will help us to focus to say what God says, to let what's in our heart, the Word of God, come out of our mouth. And that is what's working for us. And when we start saying the promises of God, when we start saying who we are in Christ, we're walking in power, baby. We're walking in victory. And as you're saying it to yourself, that seed of the Word is going in your heart and it's producing faith in you. Okay? And then when you speak, because you've got fully persuaded on the Word, your words are going to be with authority and it's going to be with power. It's going to be with understanding. And this Word is just so wonderful. And I'm so thankful for these little Word studies that I've been doing. I encourage you, do Word studies. Whatever God puts in your heart, go and look it up. Go and work it, and then God will fit it together for you. And like I said, I'm still learning and I'm still growing in these things, but we still go to the Word and we still build this thing up. So let's have a look at these laws. So we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death, the law of the mind, which is the old man nature. We have the law of faith, and now we're going to look at the law of sowing and reaping. Why are we looking at these laws? Because if we understand the laws, then we can operate the principle of it. We can operate its principles. So go to Genesis. Genesis. So this is really liberating stuff when we start to... the more you go over it, even if you've heard it 100 times, the more you start to grow and get a love for the Word, and the more exciting you become for it, and you'll make this Word your own, and God will help you with your understanding. So let's have a look at this law of sowing and reaping. Okay, it says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God set that up, right? So now we need to operate in its principles. We live by those things. We operate in the principle of those things. So if we sow, we're going to reap. What we sow is what we're going to reap. Okay, so if we're sowing a life full of worry, fears and doubts from our mouth and our actions and our attitudes, that is what you are going to reap back in abundance. If you sow faith, love, confidence, the word of God, that is what you're going to reap back in abundance, right? Galatians 6, I'm just having a look at a few of the scriptures. There's probably a lot more that you can go and work yourself, okay? Don't let everybody do the work for you. And that was one of the mistakes that I made, that I was always allowing someone else to work the word for me and then teach me. But God wants me to work the word for me. He wants you to work the word for you so that you can be fully persuaded in what you're learning and that you can speak with boldness and conviction when you're teaching from the word of God and as he's leading you by his spirit. So, you know, you've got the spirit of God that also will lead you into all truth, okay? You don't have to be ignorant. You just have to apply your heart. You just have to make up your mind that you're going to learn the word for you. And you're going to let God show you and let God teach you. And yes, you can learn from other people. And that's why God gave gift ministers in the body to teach these things and to practice these things. So I'm encouraging you to go to this world yourself. So in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7, Paul says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived, guys. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reapeth. Why? Because it's a law. It works for saint and sinner alike. What you sow is what you're going to reap. If you are going to sow an orange seed, you're not going to get an apple tree. If you want an apple tree, you've got to plant an apple seed, right? If you want roses, you've got to plant the seed for roses, not for thistles or thorns. If you want a beautiful garden, you're in control of what garden you want. What's the garden of your mind like? What kind of mind would you like? Would you like the mind of Christ? Well, you need to sow the seed of the word. Do you want the mind of the world or of a pop star or an idol that you kind of like in this world? Then you start listening to what they got to say. What you focus your mind on is what you're going to allow to get into your heart. And so what we sow, we reap. 1 Corinthians, another great record. Let's go there. So we have been given authority, but it's up to us to find out what authority we've been given and how we exercise this authority. How is this authority going to go to work? All right, so 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our own sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plough in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of hope. If we have sown to your spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And I love that. Like, you know, if someone's ministering the word to you and you're getting blessed by it, then why not support the person that's teaching you the word? Why not encourage that person who's labouring the word? And the word of God says that someone that teacheth in all good things is worthy of double honour, if we're going to talk about these things. If you want to prosper, then God has given us that law of sowing and reaping. And if we operate in that principles, we will prosper. And God wants to multiply the seed that you sow also. So if we're sowing the wrong thing, the adversaries can multiply that as well. We're putting laws into operation there. Then there's the law of giving and receiving. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that you shall meet it withal, shall be measured to you again. Very simple. Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll read in verses 9 through to 10. It says, honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Why? Because you're giving. And God's going to multiply what you give. He's going to bless what you give and the heart you give it with. And there's the principle. Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is he that withholdeth more than is meet or adequate, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withhold corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth. See, God has given us these principles that we can operate in so that we can be blessed and that we can be a blessing. And God wants to bless you. He wants you to be a blessing. It's very simple. This is the law of giving and receiving. If you operate in its principles, then you will receive the results of the principles that you're operating in. Philippians chapter 4. Right, let's get into Philippians, and we're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 17 through to 19. Not because I desire a gift. Okay, we're talking about the law of giving and receiving. Paul is saying, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Why? Because he knows if they give, they're going to receive. But I have all and abounded. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour. See, your giving is an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, when we give with understanding, when we give with love and faith, that is going to be, your giving is going to be blessed and multiplied to you. See, God is the source of all of our supply, not people. But God has given us principles to operate in. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. We're looking at the law of giving and receiving, chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now, I encourage you to do a word studies. I'm not going to go into that right now, but we have taught on that. But you go in and do a word study yourself on 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8, to get that full understanding, as we're not focusing 100% on that. Acts chapter 20, please. And in verse 35, it says, I have shown you all things, how that so labouring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So there's a principle of giving and receiving. So God wants you to give, and he also wants you to receive, and he's the one that's going to bless you as you put your trust in him and those things, but as you operate in this principle. So we see some laws there, right? There's many more different types of laws in operation, but we're just focusing on them. So when we have lack or poverty, sickness or disease or fear, we need to enforce what is already ours in Christ by saying what God says. We refuse to worry or fear. We find the promise of God for our situation, and we declare that promise or promises for the situation. We need to enforce what we understand and know what is true from the word of God. So we need to know what the word of God is saying. See, once we know what the word of God says, then we can enforce it with our authority. We got authority. There's authority in our words. And when we enforce that, we're activating the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can you see? Because we know what the word of God says to us. We're claiming that. We're saying what God says rather than what we're seeing. And then we'll start to manifest these things. Now let's go back and have a look a bit more at this authority, which I think is wonderful. And it says in Luke chapter 7. I'll give you time to get there. So in Luke chapter 7, we read from verse 1. And it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. A certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and I love that. Look at the heart of Jesus. He went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest cometh under my roof. What heart, what humility. Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. No, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, find the servant whole that had been sick. See, this guy, he understood authority. He understood that when he gave a command to those that were under him, that they would do exactly what he said. And he understood that Jesus had the authority over sickness, disease, death and sin. And he said, just say the word. That's faith. And God has given us his word. And when we believe that word and doubt not in our heart and we say it, then we will have what we say. We can use our authority in Christ. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. There's authority in the word. It's life-giving. It cuts through everything. And when we got that word abundant in our heart, that's why you need to get this word in your heart. And God also inspires words in you and gives you words to say also. But we need to know what the word of God says. We need to see what it says. See what's been done. And then we need to use our authority. We don't say our lack, right? We don't deny it. But we don't confess it. See, a lot of people deny. They might have nothing. They say, I got great abundance. I got £1 million in the bank. That's lying, okay? Don't acknowledge. See, if you've got nothing, don't say, I've got nothing. You know you got nothing there, physically. But you say what God says. You don't give voice that you got nothing. But you call the promises of God. And if you're saying what God says, you're not lying, because the word of God is truth, right? But you need to believe that in your heart and doubt not. You need to believe that what you're saying with your mouth and you're believing in your heart, you're going to receive. And if there's no doubts there, okay, then you'll receive it. If there's a doubt there, you need to just deal with the doubt. You need to get the word in you. And you need to start saying what God says. It works. This word works, right? The word has a great power in it. And when we mix it with our faith and we believe and we say, then we will see what we're saying. And I want to finish off and look at Ephesians. And I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23, we're going to read it from the Amplified Version of the Bible. And it's just really wonderful how it's put here. We just need to see what has been done for us. So in the Amplified Version, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. For we know the Father through the Son. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with the light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glory as inheritance in the saints, God's people, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. And he, put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet, and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6 in the Amplified, it says, "And you, he made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from him because of your transgression and sin, in which you once walked. You were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by the sinful self." Read Romans 7 again. "Indulging the desires of the human nature without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of sinful mind, we were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of us, the law of sin and death, like the rest of mankind. But God, being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love which he have loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sin, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ, for by grace, his undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And he raised us up together with him, Jesus, when we believed, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, because we are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law and sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." If you have the Spirit of God in you, you are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation, no sentence of death over your life. And when you walk in the new man, then you release the life of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus into you. That is active in your life. Going to work, you have favor, you have abundance, you have blessings, you have health, you have strength, you're growing, you're blessed so that you can be a blessing. But when we operate in the old man, we come under that law of sin and death that works against us. That's why we have to put the truths of the word on in our hearts and our minds. We need to say what God says. You need to believe it in your heart, what you're saying with your mouth, and then you'll receive those things. You don't want to doubt. Just don't doubt. That's the only thing that will stop it from being the promises being activated, is when we doubt. Let's finish off again in Mark. And let's go and have a look at Mark, the 11th chapter. And I'm loving this subject. I'm growing in this subject. And I believe that you're growing along with us, if you're working it with us, if you're going through these scriptures, if you're meditating upon the things that are being said from the word, and what's also being inspired to say. And in Mark 11:22, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God," or "have the faith of God," that can read, "for verily I say unto you, that whosoever," okay, anyone, "shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them." You already got them. Call them. Those things that, "therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire or call for, when you pray, believe that you've received them into manifestation, you shall have them." And there's one thing that we have to also remember with this faith and confession, and it's in the next verse, 25. "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." You don't want to be hindered in your prayers, and you don't want to be hindered in your faith and believing. You don't want to be like a hypocrite. And we've been forgiven very much through what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and we should have hearts of forgiveness. You know, we shouldn't hold grudges against one another or even unbelievers, but we should hold fast to the truth of God's word, so that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is activated all the time for us, because we're walking in that new man and not the old man. So I hope this has blessed you and encouraged you. I pray that you go over the scriptures, that you meditate upon the things says, that you pray to God about the things that have been taught. And you pray for us here also that are teaching in all good things and encouraging you. And I believe that this should be foundational. This teaching should be found all for all new believers, because as we started off, we said Jesus is Lord and we believed it in our heart and we didn't doubt and we received the gift of Holy Spirit. And the more that we learn about our faith confession and the power of it and the authority of our words and the authority that we've been given and what we have in Christ, then we can start using that. We see people raised from the dead. We've seen it. We've seen people healed. We've seen people set free. We've seen devil spirits cast out because we have the authority of God's word in our living in us. We have that authority that Christ has. We can do the same works that Jesus Christ done and greater, because you're clothed with power from on high. God has made his new covenant with you. He's given you eternal life. All you've got to do is stay to your part of the contract, and that's just to believe him and to walk with faith. And then you'll have the victory in every instance. We are overcomers. Greater is he that's in us, because we're in him. And we're saying what God says. We're not looking at our circumstances. See, you are powerful. You're a danger to the devil. When you know who you are, the devil doesn't want you to understand these things. Okay, so get your head and heart into these things. Make it your own so that you can teach it with energy and conviction. And that you know that you know that you know. That no one can ever take you off it, no matter what they say to you. Because you've worked it, and that you've gone to God, and he's opened it up to you. So God bless you.